As we move on, in the letter of James, as this is Tuesday now of the seventh week, and we're still in the letter of James, just beginning chapter 4, which means we're close to the end. And this is very biblical in its understanding of how to assess what's going on in the world. It's a discourse, if you will, on what the tradition calls the passions. You know, those drives in us that are out of order. You know, we strive for comfort, but we push everybody else out of the way to get it. Or we strive for food, and we eat all we want. Or we strive for honor, and we despise everybody to get it. Or we fight. Now you see, the passions, these drives, you see, they are the physical counterpart to the drives of our spirit, which are for good, for holiness, for beauty, but twisted. Because now we're at the center of our little universe. And so what he's talking about here is, look at yourself first. And then open your eyes and see what's going on all around you. And get smart. Realize this is the way to misery, to unhappiness, and ultimately to eternal death. And this is what he's telling us today. Huh? Beloved, where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? Do you need an answer? Can't you figure that out? Where do they come from? Somebody wants power. Somebody wants prestige. Somebody wants to push his idea of the way the world should go. Mao Zedong killed 70 million people to do that. There's something wrong there. You see? Now, the way he puts it is this. You covet, but do not possess. You kill and envy, but you cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. Sometimes there's an ideology behind all that. Hitler had one, which was demonic. Stalin had another, which was equally demonic. Mao Zedong had another. Mussolini had another. But under it all is you want to possess. You want to have enough of this world's goods to have power, to have people do what you tell them to do. Just like Jesus. Just the opposite, our Lord. He is the Lord of the world, the Creator. And he comes among us as a servant. Not somebody pushing their own ideas or looking for money, power. You do not possess because you do not ask. Notice the shift. Up to this point, everybody's following him. It's the dynamics of this world, huh? You know, it's interesting to observe that nobody ever thought of striving for world peace until Christianity came along. War is like volcanoes and hurricanes, and they just happen. And there's nothing you can do about it. Now, that ideal is still there. United Nations has made a mess of it, like the League of Nations made before. Why? They do not ask. Why not go to God and say, guide us, help us. We're trying to bring peace in this world. We're trying to take care of the poor. And what's happened now? You know, United Nations become the agent for population control. Threatening nations. You don't go along with this, you don't get our aid. Never quite that overt. You don't ask. You need something. Ask your Father. I'm trying to point out how, while it's on one level, it sounds like it's just moral reflection. But you see what it really is? You see, it's turning the world's view of itself upside down. What about asking God for this stuff? You ask, but you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. I remember, I don't know why I think of it, but Father Rick Thomas. Father Rick was a man through whom the Lord worked incredible miracles. You know that. He multiplied food. He raised the dead. He was a man endowed with incredible, charismatic miracle working. And a woman was blind in his group there. And he said, "Why do you want to see?" She said, "I want to watch television." He said, "I don't think the Lord's going to heal you. You're much safer without that. You know, if you said you want to read, you want to see your grandchildren, you want to, fine, but to watch television." And she never got her sight. Adulterers. Now, he may mean literally adulterers, but also spiritually adulterers, those who aren't faithful to God. "Do you not know that to be a lover of this world means enmity with God?" Now that's a biblical theme, isn't it? You find the same thing in the first letter of John. What does it mean to be a lover of the world? It means to just sing along with Mitch. Everything's fine. Everybody wants money. Everybody wants power. Everybody wants revenge. Everybody. Just go along with it. And he says, you do that, and you're God's enemy. Do you see why we have to preach the gospel? How many people are conceived, born, educated, get a job, and never thought about, what am I doing on this globe? And given the way that our world is structured, you know, the dominance of a few very powerful people, you know, I've already talked to you about that whole notion of economic compulsion. Father Barrera wrote a book on it. He's an economist and a theologian. The world, most people today are so angry and so frustrated and so, and can hardly face the depth of what's wrong with them. But you know, most people, except the very powerful, their will, which is given them by God to choose the good for themselves and for their family, the best they can do is choose the lesser of two evils. That's a deep perversion. How many people, they have to choose between having good insurance for your family, having a good house for your family. Why? Who said that? And now that the whole thing is starting to crumble, people are very frightened. Huh? The food shortages, the food prices are going to go up. The rich are going to eat. That's going to start riots of anger. That's the world. There's enough food right now to feed everybody in this world. Right now. With all our blights in Africa and all the rest. Huh? Why don't we do it? Because we got other things to do, like get rich, get comfortable. You see, the analysis of the world is, it's not just the sex on the television. It's this incredible striving, everybody, for themselves. Now this, you know, this, when the mind loses a grasp on God, this is the way it goes. The modern understanding of a human being is, I am the locus of rights. I have a right to this, a right to that, a right to the other thing, a right to the other thing. And so do you, and so do you, and so do you. Which means what? That we're in competition all the time. And what moderates this violent competition? Law. Not love, not virtue, not care. Law. That's the theory of government. The only thing that stops us from killing one another is we'd go to jail. What happened? That's the world. And people are born into it. No wonder they're frightened. And from fear comes anger and hatred, always. And there we are. Did you not know that to be a lover of the world means enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a lover of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that the Scripture speaks without meaning when it says the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us tends towards jealousy? Meaning tends toward exclusive relationship to God. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. We have houses, not right in this neighborhood, but maybe a few hundred yards away, half mile away, where these people have sold, hocked everything they own to buy a huge house and decorate the bottom floor. And on the top floor, they're sleeping on blankets on the floor. Why? Because my reality and my dignity come from making an impression. Do they really? Don't they come from loving and being loved, from looking to God as your Father? For worshiping and loving Jesus who saved you from sin and is bringing you to eternal life? What's happened? James is not wasting his time warning us, right? And then he gives us a whole series of little... Submit yourselves to God. Good idea. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And he goes on. He's a preacher here, like St. Bernardine. Now he's just saying, this is reality and I love you enough to tell you.